And we get to journey through the Bible together today. And what I've loved about the past year is we've been doing this series, and if you haven't been with us for too long, we've been doing this series called The God Story, and I've been enjoying it so much because we get a chance to go through all of Scripture and see God's plan for all of history, leading up to today, seeing to where we are now. And last week, Pastor Matt, he covered a bit of the ministry of Peter. And a lot like Peter, what we're talking about today is Paul's ministry. Paul was also called to do the same thing in bringing the gospel to both Jew and Gentile alike, and more than that, to the ends of the earth, to share the good news. And throughout the book of Acts, the author Luke, the author, he wrote this. So, you know, if you read the Gospel of Luke, it's the same guy. He also wrote this book. He's following along these apostles, and they're going through and seeing this journey, all the accounts of everything we read about in the book of Acts, the miracles, the amazing things that happened, converts, all these things. But something I often so overlook is the time, the landscape of the time that we are reading these stories in. And we cannot look at the book of Acts and go, okay, this is exactly how it is today. It is very much different. The way the ministry looks to the culture of that time, vastly different than we have to look at today. The religious customs, the cultural leaders, the religious leaders, the Greco-Roman culture in that time, lack of iPhones in that time. That is an actual thing. Don't worry. All we've known, some of you teenagers, all you've known is life with iPhones. There is no iPhones at this time. It was a good time. I would love to experience that time a bit. But this is an era, a time of history. We can't even fathom what it is to live and breathe in that time. There's no technology, no internet. They don't even have books. If you think of like, oh yeah, maybe libraries. No, there's no books. There's nothing. There's people. That is it. There is people. And so when we read these texts, we need to put on the lens of those in that time. We can't read them with our lenses of today. We got to read them with the lenses of that time. And for Paul, we're putting on his lens today. What Paul looked at the early church and the people that he had to minister to. And for Paul, he would have been the most familiar with the culture on both sides of who he was preaching to. Because Paul, he was born a Jew. He was born an Israelite. And so there were the Jews, then there were God's chosen people as they were called in Scripture. So he was born a Jew, as we read this morning in his testimony, 8 days old, circumcised, just like that, and he is in the Jewish religion. No, don't worry, there's a lot more to it, not just that. But Paul, an Israelite, God's chosen people, so the family growing up, he would have practiced Judaism his whole life into his later adulthood when he would have left his family. But also, the culture that Paul lived in. Because he was also called to preach to the Gentiles, not only the Jews. And so the Gentiles, to preach to the Gentiles, he would have been living in the culture as well, seeing everything go on. And I'll get more into that in a bit. But as we've understood, Pastor Matt talked a little bit ago about Ananias, who gave a vision from God in Acts 9 to Paul, also known as Saul in this story. And it's Acts chapter 9, we'll read this. But the Lord said, go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to kings, as well to the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. Paul, zealous for God. This is his mission. This is what God tells him to do. This is what you're going to do. And the hardest part about that is what he has to endure to do this. Because he says that right at the end, and I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. But this shows us he's ready to do whatever it takes. This is his call. This is his mission. And for the majority of Acts, for a large, large portion, we are just reading about Paul's missionary adventure. So don't worry, we're not doing 13 chapters today of Paul's ministry, but we are just going to do a few and look at a few. But looking at Paul's ministry, he's preaching to both the Jews and the Gentiles. And the question that Paul has to ask himself is, how am I going to do this? How am I going to share the truth of Jesus, share the good news, share the gospel with those around me? And each one of those sides had their own set of difficulties. Let's look at the Jews first. On one hand, the Jews, they have had their religious practice developed and grown from the beginning of time. All the way Genesis to Deuteronomy, we read of the law that God had passed down to Moses and Moses on to the people, how they were supposed to live their life, how they were supposed to live set apart, which Pastor Matt speaked on last week as well. But there was also Jewish religious leaders in that time who were stuck in that law, who were like, this is the only way to God, this is what it has to be, and this is what it is. And so a lot of them were very hesitant to the preaching and teaching of Paul because of their ways. They're stuck in their ways and not willing to accept Christ as Lord, that Jesus had come down from heaven to actually ransom their lives as well. The religious leaders, in fact, they were so afraid of this message that they thought it was misleading and dangerous to even listen to, that it was misleading and dangerous to the Jewish practices. And so they would often make mobs or hordes to drive Paul out of the city that he was preaching to. He'd run them out of the city. And it's interesting what happened some of those times. But like I said, we got a lot to cover. But we read a moment in Acts chapter 13. And Paul, he arrives in Pamphylia, and then he gets to a town called Perga, and it is a long one, so I'm only going to summarize this story for you just a bit, but this is Paul and his companion Barnabas, and they're giving an address to the Jews, and that's important to understand first, because they also give the story to the Gentiles afterwards, and so Paul, in this whole discourse between the Jews and Paul, he's saying things like that God chose ancestors and made them multiply and led them out of Egypt. That's what we read in the Exodus. This is what God had done for the Jews. He led them out of Egypt. God gave them judges and kings. So that's what we read in Judges and Kings. See, the God story is pulling forward here. Then we have King David who comes along. And then he explains that Jesus was brought down from heaven and he was condemned here on earth by the people in Jerusalem and its leaders. And Paul, he's giving the gospel in this chapter in a way that he's reaching and understanding what the Jews' understanding would have been. All of that history, the Exodus, the kings, David's line, Paul is preaching that to their ears. They're hearing this and they're picking up on certain things of like, this is what we see, this is what we know in our culture, in their religion, and they're realizing who Jesus is. Because the Jews, they struggled with understanding the messianic significance of the Old Testament. Where is Jesus found in the Old Testament? They couldn't pinpoint it and they couldn't figure that Jesus had come down because through this whole time, they would have been looking for Jesus. They would have been asking, who is Jesus? Is it Moses? Is it David? Is it this person? Is it that person? All these big names that came to do big things for God, but Jesus was different. But Paul, he's explaining and he helps the Jews understand that Christ was for both Jew and Gentile. And what the Jews seek is being fulfilled through Christ's message. And their response is interesting. This is a really beautiful response. In Acts 13:42, it says this, "As Paul and Barnabas left the synagogue that day, the people begged them to speak about these things again the next week. Many Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, and the two men urged them to continue to rely on the grace of God." Paul reached the Jews by bringing an all-around understanding of how God's plan for their lives had been from the beginning of creation. Does that sound familiar? In a lot of ways, it's the God story that we're doing right now. We're bringing his whole story and history to you guys, to us, to our ears today. That's exactly what Paul is doing to the Jews, helping them see and understand. And Paul preaches the God story to the Jews. However, there is some pushback, not just in this story, but in a lot of other instances as well. And it says this in verse 44, "The following week, almost the entire city turned out to hear them preach the word of the Lord. But when some of the Jews saw the crowds, they were jealous. So they slandered Paul and argued against whatever he said." The crowds, they just got a little too much for the Jews. More than that, there is more to it than that. But they got jealous of what was going on. And that jealousy is not rooted in just the fact that there was large crowds. It's actually rooted in partly into what Paul was saying to the Gentiles as well. That the Jews, they had rigorous ways to get to salvation. They had rigorous things that they had to do, and they had been taught for a very, very long time they had to do. animal sacrifices, personal sacrifices, the lifestyle they had to live, things they could eat, couldn't eat, things they had to say, things they had to do, the times they had to meet, all sorts of these different things. And the Jews are like, this is salvation for us. Why is it also for the Gentiles who don't have to do anything? There was this whole different thing of they couldn't determine what the Gentiles had to do. And there is an instance where there's a Jewish council that meets and they discuss what Gentiles have to do. And it still ended up being very minimal compared to what Jewish people had to do in that time. And so can you see where this jealousy is coming from? There was a sense that they should not be counted equal with the Gentiles because of their standing with God. They are God's chosen people. Of course, that would have a high title with it. But what Paul is preaching is that we're equals. There's unity. There's something different. And hear me out. God loves his chosen people, and he wants to honor his chosen people. But salvation, as we've read from the beginning of time, never was only intended for them. It was intended for the Gentiles as well. And in this, the Jews reject the message. But more than that, they're rejecting Jesus, because this is Jesus' mission, his ministry, his life, everything. But with the Gentiles, right after these verses, it reads this in 46, "Then Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and declared, 'It was necessary that we first preach the word of God to you Jews. But since you've rejected it and judged yourselves unworthy of eternal life, we will offer it to the Gentiles. For the Lord gave us this command when he said, I have made you a light to the Gentiles to bring salvation to the farthest corners of the earth.' When the Gentiles heard this, they were very glad and thanked the Lord for his message, and all who were chosen for eternal life became believers. So the Lord's message spread throughout that region." In this moment, we're only reading one ministry moment between Paul and the Jews, but there were so many more times where the Jews rejected Jesus. There were different reasons, but at the core of it all, they couldn't figure out why they were God's chosen people, but the Gentiles get to receive the same thing. But Paul's message was also to the Gentiles, and Paul quotes a prophecy in Isaiah 49:6 in saying that Jesus will be a light to the Gentiles as well. And in the book of Isaiah, that's a long time ago before this. So it's the Jews missing the equality that Jesus' life brought to his people. That yes, there was chosen people, and that these chosen people, they needed to be different to show every other person that there is a different way to life. And so how does that look for us today? Hold that question. Because the Gentiles, they were more receptive in great number of ways. But the challenges to preach to the Gentiles were also there. Because now, on the other hand, the difficulty of sharing in the gospel to the Gentiles was there was a lot of Gentiles interested in Judaism because of Paul's message, but they were so intermingled with culture that they had a hard time following just one God. So in that time, there are thousands of gods they could have followed in Roman culture, Greek culture, African culture. All these different gods are impacting their view of who to follow. And it's not only that, but actually those cultures celebrated this. Their cultures were built off of the worship of Roman and Greek gods. It held their culture together. So much, in fact, that their economy was heavily influenced by temple worship of these gods. And so it's deeper than just like, I'm going to go to this church service, whatever. Or I'm going to go to this service about this god. No. There was these gods who were said to protect the cities that they lived in. And so they're like, of course this is good. Of course this is something that we want. And each community that Paul would travel to on his missionary journeys, they had these different gods, and they served those different needs. And so when I talk about the lens we have to have at the start, this is the lens we need to have now. The impact of culture on people in that day, it's not like we could sit in here, and there's a lot of us in this room, we can look around and see all these other fellow followers of Jesus. Every single person who was a Gentile would have been very close to following these other gods. And if they weren't, they were following Judaism, which also had its problems because they didn't know what to do. And so it is just this topple of falling down the stairs, tumbling after the other, and just like, what do we do? And for the Gentiles, Paul makes it very clear that bringing Jesus into this mix, it's not just adding another god. It's not just adding a new God for the Gentiles to believe in. It was the only God the Gentiles needed to believe in. I mean, to me, hearing that today, that's a little freeing. You know, if you're following all these other gods, doing all these other rituals, and you get to hear of one God for good reason, that's pretty special. Because no other God, and what Paul would have preached was no other God comes close in power, in might, or glory, or in relationship to the God that he serves. And when you consider this fact that all people know, why would the Gentiles be interested in something like this? Why would this message affect their hearts? Well, mainly because Jesus' message, it spoke about something no king would have ever done before. The kingship of Jesus, he would have been here as a king that nobody would have understood before. Because when you think about the kings in that time, the people in wealth, in power, and in status, that's all it was to them. To try and get all the money they could, to try and get all the power, military power, to get all the status that they could, especially in Roman culture. And that would trickle down through societies, that there would be very, very clear hierarchies of which stat, or which, what's the word I'm looking for? We see it today too, different classes. Classes, whoever said that over there, thank you. Classes, different classes through history or through the societies. And what we see there, we also see that today. But Jesus' message, it made for communities of equality, where status, it didn't matter. Jew or Gentile, slave or free, those things do not matter when it comes to Christ. And maybe you've heard that verse I just quoted. I can't recall where it is, but is it in Galatians? Maybe. Slave nor free. Hey, sorry, I looked at you, Judy. Put you on the spot there. Some people do it to me. Wherever is Cam here? He always does that to me. He always puts me on the spot. I should have put him on the spot. Anyways, you read that. That's because that's in one of Paul's letters. And throughout Acts, we actually are reading the ministry of Paul where he learns to write these letters. And he's creating these churches and he's helping develop these churches. So that's a whole different topic for another time. Don't worry, I won't go in too much into that. But these people, these Gentiles, are desperate to hear that there is a king who will not rule over their lives in the same way the kings of that time are. And that's what Paul brings to them. That Jesus, he comes as a servant. He's not coming as a tyrant. He's coming as a father, as someone who loves them and cares for them. And this message is what's impacting them. Let me read you this story to illustrate this. This is in Acts. There's a moment where Paul and another one of his companions, Silas, they're ministering to crowds. They cast out of a demon. They cast out a demon and a fortune teller, and they were arrested because the masters of the fortune teller were furious. That is not made up. That is very real. You can read it in this story. But that happens. It's a wild story, but it's true. And we read this, that around midnight, this is in Acts 16, verse 25, it says this, around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open, and he assumed the prisoners had escaped. So he drew his sword to kill himself. But Paul shouted to him, "Stop! Don't kill yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights and ran to the dungeon and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved along with everyone in your household." And they shared the word of the Lord with him and with all who lived in his household. Even at that hour of the night, the jailer cared for them and washed their wounds. Then he and everyone in his household were immediately baptized. He brought them into his house and set a meal before them. And he and his entire household rejoiced because they all believed in God. In prison, this powerful move of God makes way for Paul to further share the gospel. The guard, for his actions, he knew what was going to happen because he was ready to kill himself. Because if he didn't, he knew he would have been punishable by death because all the prisoners escaped. So it all lands on him. And so here he is in guilt. He's ready to just kill himself because of what he had done. He let these prisoners escape. But what Paul and Silas do, they're like, "No, stop. You're forgiven. Like, we forgive you, man. You're okay. You don't have to worry about it." And more than that, through that forgiveness, think about that. What if you escape? Think about a prisoner. The look of a prisoner, the feel of a prisoner, when you walk into a prison, sometimes the guards have no clue what they did. They have no clue what this prisoner is there for. And so they're looking at this guy. This jailer is looking at Paul and Silas and like, man, these guys could have done some pretty nasty stuff. And so what does he do? He takes them to his home. Would you do that? Would you take a prisoner to your home? I don't know if I would, unless I knew them, of course, and I would hope that I would. But he takes them to their home, and he washes them. He washes their wounds. He feeds them. He has a meal with them. How unique is that? A jailer and two guys wrongly imprisoned, sharing the gospel, converting and baptizing their family. This is what we see. Unique Gentiles, people of God, coming together under the story and ministry and life of Christ. Shaping people, shaping culture in a whole new way. How does that happen? How does a loyal person to the crown, a jailer who knew exactly if he was harboring criminals, he'd be killed for what he was doing, how does someone like that change? There's only one way, and it's through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowering the message and the ministry of Paul. Because everywhere we read in Acts, almost everywhere Paul went and everything that Paul did was empowered by the Holy Spirit. We read of moments where the Holy Spirit empowered Paul from going places to another. We also hear where the Holy Spirit denied Paul from going to places where he's like, no, you're not going there. You're going this way. And he would follow. He would go. But nothing Paul did was by his hand, but the Spirit through him. See, Paul's message without the Holy Spirit, it would have been nothing. But in light of the God story, God's plan to share the gospel to the ends of the earth, God makes a way for Paul every turn he took. Whether it was to the Jews, in prison, shipwrecked, Paul, he never quit because God never quit. God wants his gospel, his good news shared to people. What brings a person like you and me to a life like this, to decide to do this? Well, here's what Paul says in chapter 20, verse 21. He says this, I have had one message for Jews and Gentiles alike, the necessity of repenting from sin and turning to God and of having faith in our Lord Jesus. And now I am bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. I don't know what awaits me, except that the Holy Spirit tells me in city after city that jail and suffering lie ahead. But my life is worth nothing to me. My life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned to me by the Lord Jesus. The works of telling others the good news and the wonderful grace of God. And I've been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Paul's value in his life was fulfilling the mission God has for his life. And even when Paul couldn't fulfill that mission by going directly, he would sit and he would make tents and he would still do the mission. He would tell others about Christ in the streets, in the markets that he would do because he would be denied access to a city. And so if he would go in and work, he could make tents and he could tell people about Christ. And so I ask you, where is your value in life? Is it in your job? Is it in money? To earn a certain amount, to feel freedom, to retire early? Reflect on that with me this morning. It impacts me deeply because I can look at my life and go, man, yeah, I could change some things. I could change some things. Because our pursuits of sharing the gospel, it can look both like the Jews and both like the Gentiles. Where our faith stays our own like the Jews. Where it's really good to sit in here on a Sunday morning to get the good worship, to get the good prayers, to get the message, to have these moments, and it stays here. those guys out there, they don't believe what I believe. Their ideology is different. Their beliefs are different. I don't want that in here. I don't want that impacting this place. That's dangerous. Or maybe like the Gentiles, we're so stuck out there that it's hard to experience what's happening in here. That what we feel we need to do is to pursue a certain kind of life to get us into a place where we can then preach the gospel. Or that we need to position ourselves into some special place. There are people walking the streets out there that need to hear about God. And you know what's cool? Some of the most bold people I've ever met in sharing the gospel are young people, teenagers, kids. That just popped into my head. I get to watch my youth on the Thursday nights. I get to see how bold and willing they are to go out and to do this. So we sit here and we can learn from them. We can take from them. But the gospel of Jesus, it's not just for those who don't know God. It's for us today sitting in this room as well. You see, Paul did everything he wanted to do, compelled not by guilt or shame or lack of conviction, but because of love. Because the love Jesus poured out on the cross for you and me standing here today so that his message could be furthered. And so I'm not coming to you with conviction, but a call to love. Is the love he poured out on the cross for you enough to make you be brave to go to prison for his name? To be shipwrecked for his name? And I'm not trying to guilt anyone, of course not. Because I've been there. I've been there where I feel like my whole life I'm not doing anything because I'm not doing enough. It's not the case. Jesus doesn't want you to feel that. If you are feeling like that, come talk to me after and we can pray. Where Paul received his mission for God was in his conversion. He was living a life for God beforehand as a Jew. Mind you, he was really persecuting a lot of other people, so it wasn't good. But it was good in some sense because he was looking after God. He thought he was living a life for God. And it wasn't until he met Jesus where he discovered his call. Each of us has a call today. It's not necessarily to be up here preaching. It's not necessarily to be playing an instrument, but it could be to your job where you work, that you don't know how you made it to where you are today. And you go, man, I've made it. I've accomplished this. This is pretty cool. Well, I think God would say, yeah, it is really cool. I helped you get there. Like he wants to use you because look at Paul's life. He was used for both Jew and Gentile. Paul knew the Jews more than anyone. He knew the Gentiles more than anyone. The gifts and knowledge that was given Paul, he used to reach the people only he could reach. I can't reach the people you guys can reach. I can't. You can. You can take these things that Paul shows us in his ministry and to further the gospel, to further his name, this is what you can hold on to today. I have three encouragements for you. That's a pretty pastoral thing to do. Three. Three encouragements for you guys. The first one, you got to hold so tightly to this. The Holy Spirit empowers your ministry today. No matter what you do, where you work, even if you don't work, he's empowering your ministry. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will make a way when you cannot find one. The hard thing is we cannot see the Holy Spirit, right? That is something I would admit. I cannot see the Holy Spirit. And so I don't necessarily know sometimes. That's where trust and faith come in. If it seems like God's leading you somewhere, go there. But be careful because we can't always trust our feelings either. If I'm going to be blindfolded and you tell me to walk to the edge, I'm going to be a little nervous because I don't know where that edge is. So of course there's going to be nerves in me. Or if you put me in a dark room and you're like run around and there's chairs set up everywhere, you're like, well, I'm going to be nervous. Of course I am. So of course there's going to be nerves in going out. Of course there's going to be nerves in reaching out. But listen, the Holy Spirit is within you. The Holy Spirit will empower you, will take you places you didn't think you could go. And I imagine Paul was pretty scared for a lot of his situations. Shipwrecked, imprisoned, for no reason. They just grabbed him, imprisoned, just like that. Of course, that would bring fear, but he never let that stop him. And the second thing you can hold on to, and this is one of my favorites, the gospel will not be stopped. It's not. Pastor Matt says this all the time. I love when he says this. You're not the one to change someone's life. You're just the one to share it. God will do that, but it won't be stopped. You have the assurance that if you follow the Holy Spirit, God will make a way. And I know it can be scary to think about how someone will respond to you. I've been there. I've had people respond really poorly to me and really well to me. I get it. But the word is there. You planted the seed. God will do the rest. And yes, maybe you're like, oh, is that enough work? Is that enough? Is that all I have to do? Yes. Yes. Take that as encouragement. That is all you have to do. Share his love. And it will look different with different people. That's the other thing we take from this. Because the Jews, the Gentiles, you'll meet different people that need a response in a different way. You can tell pretty quickly if someone's not going to be receptive to Jesus. But maybe you have to walk through life with them for 10, 15 years before you finally see that time. But if you're willing to trust, if you're willing to follow the Holy Spirit's leading, the gospel, it will not be stopped. The other part to that is, thankfully, we live in a place where if we do share the gospel with a random person, the chances of us getting kicked out or imprisoned are extremely low. It's not going to happen. And even then, Paul would be kicked out of places, and what would he do? He'd go right back in. He would not stop. And in a world rampant with anxiety, depression, self-centeredness, pride, the message that there is a God who wants to speak into our lives and give us identity of unity and of under one God, people need that. They're looking. They're looking for it. The Jews were looking for it. The Gentiles were looking for it. Paul pinpointed what they were looking for. And he was like, hey, my God fulfills this. He's here for that. He's ready for you. The people, they want it. They want God. And then lastly, do not quit. Guys, don't quit. When things get tough, don't quit. When someone really hurts you, don't quit. Keep going. Like Paul, when things got tough, he had those to lean on. He had others in his life. Wherever he went, he had a ministry partner, whether it was Barnabas, Silas, or Timothy, all these other people. When they sent out all the disciples at the beginning of Acts, they went in pairs of two. We are together in this. The people in this room, you might think that you're the only one in your struggle, in your situation. Anytime I think about that, I look at someone, I'm going to go, oh wait, they went through that too. They went through that too. We are here together in this. And the longer you try and do it alone, of course, the more hurt and lonely you'll feel because you're alone. We are here together. To experience God together, to worship God together, but to leave this building together and work together to bring those who need Jesus into a place where they can find him and see him. And it doesn't necessarily mean this building. It could also mean your homes or into your personal life to share with them. The church is us, ecclesia, a gathering of believers. You guys, me, together. Paul, he would have been beaten, he would have been bruised, imprisoned, shipwrecked, like I've said. In some of those places this happened, he would go back to that city. We're in Kamloops. We're here for Kamloops. We're here for this community. And in the God story, Paul is leading us to see that we have a mission for us. That there's a call over your life, and he wants to build that calling, build that mission, and to let you know he's got it all. Because in those three encouragements that I gave you, none of them have to do with you, other than the quitting. Don't quit. But a lot of them, Holy Spirit empowers you. He's got you. The gospel will not be stopped because he is empowering you. And even on the do not quit part, he's with you to strengthen you. But I fully know, I fully do. That hurt is here. It's in this place. And that maybe as you've tried to do what Paul's done in his life, you've really been beaten down. You've really been bruised. And you feel like you've been imprisoned. And Jesus would want you to know he's got you. He's got you.